I want to remind you that this Sunday morning is Miracle Sunday, number 24. 24 years we've been bringing our tithes to the Lord, 90% for that week, living on 10, and it has just been amazing the way that God has blessed, and we're continuing to just build for the future and for the kingdom now. So that Sunday evening, I pray you have it marked that you're going to be here. It's going to be night of revival, and Jesse and Lindsay Fletcher are going to be here singing and ministering the word. And I just believe God has something planned. So I pray that you'll make it a priority to be here, and I pray for the services as well. It's been on my heart these past few weeks to remind us who the Lord is through His Word, and to challenge us to delve deeper into who He is so that we may know Him. Not just know of Him, but know Him. Significant growth happens when we don't just come to church, but we become the church. And our thought life, our prayer life, our everyday life begins to look significantly different when we intentionally strive to know the Lord and not just know of Him. I want you to turn with me to Psalms 27. And when you're turning there, we first talked about the Lord as our keeper. He keeps all that we commit to Him. There's nowhere that we can go from His presence. And I want you to read this with me because I want these scriptures to get in your heart. It's up on the stage. Go ahead and stay where you are in Psalms 27. Psalms 121, 4 and 5, the first week. Behold, the protector of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. When you look in that same chapter in verses 7 and 8, it reminds us again of the keeping power of the Lord. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That is comforting, isn't it? To know that He's our keeper. And then we looked at the Lord is our righteousness. And out of Psalms 11 and 7, for the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see His face. When we pursue righteousness and we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as Jesus tells us to do, it positions us for kingdom living. The Holy Spirit then can begin to open our eyes because we're yielding ourselves to Him to see the things that God has already prepared, like Pastor was talking about Sunday. He opens our ears to become tuned to hear kingdom sounds, and our heart begins to overflow with fresh kingdom desire and fire. When you look in 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I just want to recap because I think it's so important, God made Him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf so that in Him we might become the righteous, we become the righteousness of God in Christ. So the minute that we become saved, God imputes or imparts His righteousness to us. It's no longer we that lives, but Christ that lives in us. And we begin to bear fruits of righteousness as we walk in line with His word. That'll be the byproduct of our obedience, will be fruits of righteousness. In Proverbs, it says, it is in the way of righteousness that we find His abundant life. Who wants abundant life in Christ? Then we pursue and seek righteousness and we walk in it and we find life. And then this scripture in Hosea, I told you this before and I'm going to just tell you again. I just to find myself plowing up and asking the Lord and trying to plow up fallow ground in my life. And He says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Our ground in our life can get fallow, and it's up to us to break it up. And then we talked about the Lord is our banner. And in Exodus 17:15, it says, "And the Lord, Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner." And it was at that place where they were camping in Rephidim, and the Amalekites came out to wage war against them. They're just passing through the desert, and they're not really fully equipped for battle like this, but God was their source, and Moses went up to the top of the hill and held up his hands, and Joshua fought the battle, and he said, "The Lord is our banner," when that battle was won. And when you think about it, the Lord is our banner is a beautiful word picture of God's protection and deliverance. His banner symbolizes his presence, his power, and his provision over us. It reminds us to keep our trust in the Lord. I love this scripture in Psalm 60:4. It says, "But you have raised a banner for those who fear you, a rallying point in the face of attack." And I want to tell you, remind you, for those that weren't here, why I love this, that the word says you've raised a banner. It's a rallying point. It's a gathering place. You know, back in the day when they had battles and they would get out on the battlefield and get so disoriented and they couldn't remember where their troops were, that they would raise those banners signifying where their troops were, what side they were on. So even if they got disoriented, they knew where to go for rest. And we know where to go because he raises the banner for us, and we can hide in that place. So tonight I want to look at Psalms 27. The Lord is my light. And you can follow along on the screen or in your Bible, preferably if you have it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, even in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret places of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and then shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And then I want you later on to finish reading that psalm. But in this particular psalm, David is being hunted by Saul and his men. He's in danger of those seeking to take his life. Yet he speaks as one that is confidently trusting in the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when I was drawn to this psalm and thinking about it, the Lord is scriptures. This psalm speaks to us in so many ways because we too have an enemy that is pursuing us. And even though he knows he's defeated, we know what happens in the end. Right now, he's going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And his goal is to wear you out, to strip us of our joy, of our strength, of our hope, and even our confident trust in God. That's his goal. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's no respecter of persons. He don't care what your age is, what your gender is, what your social standing is, how long you've been in church, and how much of the word you know. He don't care. The battle we're in is not flesh and blood. It's spiritual. It's spiritual enemies. And daily, the enemy tries to overrun our mind with thoughts with accusations, with fears, with temptations, until anxiety and panic replaces our peace. Can anybody identify with what I'm saying? So I believe this psalm is timely to ponder and apply to our own lives, so hope will arise and remind us. In verse 13 of this same chapter, the psalmist very openly admits, he said, I would have fainted. I would have quit. I would have lost heart and hope unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And he was so confident of that, that he goes on and he exhorts us even today, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So for a couple of moments, we're going to wait together in the presence of God as we take a closer look. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I want you to read that with me because there's something about the Word of God, especially when you read it and you speak it out loud, it's like prophesying over yourself. It revives the soul. So I want you to say this with me. Psalms 27 and 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I feel like we need to say that again, because the word does what? Faith comes by, and hearing by the word of God. And when you speak it out loud, this is the word of God to us. We're prophesying over ourselves today, okay? Let's do it again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And it just took me right to Romans 8:31, where the scripture says, if God be for us, then who can be against us? And then it took me over into Corinthians. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I went over into 2 Corinthians. Now thanks be to God who always, I love that word, who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus, and then he diffuses his fragrance everywhere I go. So even when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death and I feel weary, he strengthens me. He's leading me into triumph. And while he's leading me, I'm diffusing the fragrance of God and I even smell good. He's our light and our salvation. John 1 and 4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. It is the Lord who saves us and sets us apart for his glory. And not just to carry his glory, but the upright are going to see his glory. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So even when we're going through some tremendous battles, as we're walking in faith, God shows us facets of who he is and facets of his glory. And he rolls back the curtain and lets us see glimpses of who he is. And I believe he's doing that even tonight. The psalmist said in 18:28, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Over in Colossians 1 and 13, it tells us that from the time we're saved, when we accept Jesus, the moment we say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, he rescues us, delivers us from the kingdom of darkness. In that moment, we're snatched from the kingdom of darkness and we're translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son. And things begin to look different. Over in John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will walk in light and will not walk in darkness. That's powerful. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ so that we would no longer walk in darkness. Jesus said in John, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. It's like when he imputed righteousness into us. His light is now inside of us, giving light to us. He is leading us and guiding us and directing us. And we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to walk in the way of the world. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on the prize, on the goal, and keep pursuing after God. There's a lot of darkness in the world today. There's a lot of things. I don't know about you, but even this AI stuff is overwhelming. You go on YouTube and you're going to listen to a minister that you've listened to many times. And you can tell that it's AI that is taking over, and it's they can deceive and put things in there. We have to be so careful, but the light of his word will give us discernment if we'll stay close and follow after him. We may not have all the understanding, but there'll be a check. This is not of me. He is the light of the world. We got to follow close to him everywhere we go. The Lord who became flesh lived among us. He was the life and light of men. He's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He illuminates our way without and within. C.H. Spurgeon said, after conversion, God is our joy, comfort, guide, teacher, and in every sense our light. He is a light within, light around, light reflected, and light to be revealed. It is not said that the Lord gives light, but that he is light. Not that he gives salvation, but that he is salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He saves to the uttermost. He leads with clarity and with mercy. New mercies every single morning. There's no need for us to fear, for the Lord our God has power to deliver us from sin, from spiritual death, and from every test and trial that will come our way this side of heaven. He goes before us. In Isaiah 12 and 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Let me tell you, God does not do things part way. He's our strength and our song. When he delivered David out of the pit, he put him upon a rock. He established his goings. And then it says he even put a new song in his heart, even in his mouth, unto the Lord, that he could sing a new song. When God lights the way, he does it all the way. And even tonight, he is working in your life in a new, full way. There is revelation that is being released in every heart that is hungry. How do you know that? Because he tells us that. 1 Corinthians 2, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, hasn't entered into your hearts the things that God has prepared for those that love him, but he reveals them to us by his Spirit. The natural man can't understand them, but the spiritual man reaches in and grabs a hold of the deep things of God, and God begins to reveal them. How do you know that? Because we're moving from faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We're passing through. So God is doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. So if there's not power flowing, we need to plow up fallow ground, sow righteousness until he comes and rains righteousness. We have a part to play. There's something happening on this Wednesday night. This is no ordinary Wednesday night. This is a night of impartation. The Spirit of the Lord is expanding our capacity to understand his ability. We just got to get in the river. We just got to say, I'm not going to stay knee deep anymore. I'm going to grab, because there are things that I can sit here and teach you all day long and week after week, and Pastor can on Sunday, but there are some things that cannot be taught. They have to be caught. There comes a time when you're like, God, I want more. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you begin to unveil the things in me. I'm hungry for more. I need more for where I am, because there's more of you. You're bigger than what I've seen in the past. You have more than what I've experienced in the past. So there's no need for us to be afraid, because the Lord is the strength of our life. The word tells us that they that wait upon the Lord. So when you move over one chapter into chapter 28, verse 7, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. And then, because my heart trusts in him, my heart leaps for joy, and with my song I will praise him. My song. You're not going to sing my song. With my song, I'm going to praise him. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Though this outward man is perishing, this inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm one closer to the divine presence of the glory of God. Is there anyone here that struggles with waiting? Anyone that struggles with praying sometimes? We pray popcorn prayers and we want pot roast to enjoy. The Lord showed me that today. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. His joy is our strength. There's a connection between waiting in his presence and being filled with fresh joy that will strengthen our inner man. 1 Corinthians 16:11 says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. We can become easily discouraged, all of us. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying, in this flesh, we can become easily discouraged and worried over life circumstances, because we're constantly in a hurry and we want things quickly and we want answers quickly, to the point that fear overrides our faith. And the result is we become weary instead of relying on his strength that is made perfect, complete, in our weakness. We're weak, but he's strong. And so when we wait in his presence, it gives opportunity for our inner man to be built up. There's a scripture that has carried me for years and through many seasons, and it seems so simple, but I'm telling you, it carries such power and weight. Philippians 4:13, say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right now, you may be in a very difficult place and facing something that you don't know how you're going to get through it, or and you feel like fainting. I want you to speak this over yourself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me. I can because of Him. And He's moving tonight, even in your situation. The psalmist David was a pursuer of God's presence. In verse 4, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." I just want to be in His presence, is what he was saying. I just want to be in His presence. In verse 20, or chapter 26, 8, he says, "O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." Do you understand why I push so much for you to worship? Because it's the place His glory dwells. And you can sit where His glory's everywhere and not experience it because you're closed off. I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. And He sits enthroned on the praises of His people. That's His glory. And the place of His anointing. And the anointing breaks yokes. We get yokes in our life. We get yoked to things and to ideas and to strongholds and to situations that are unhealthy. But His anointing will bring it to the forefront and will break it over our life and bring freedom. He said, "A day in your courts, in your presence, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'll just serve. I'll just greet you when you come in. I'll just wash your feet. I'll just do the dishes in the kitchen. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord than out in the world feeding my flesh." He was a pursuer of the presence of God. But He teaches us the confidence that comes from the Lord when we wait for Him to strengthen us. In verse 5, it says, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret places of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and then shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy." Right now, some of you, He's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And He's inviting you to come and sit and dine with Him. Not to be defeated, not to be overwhelmed, not to give in, not to faint. Not to let your enemies intimidate you. They've already been defeated. He's saying, "I've got a table prepared. Come and dine. Let me strengthen you. Let you remind you of my goodness. Let me give you glimpses of my glory. Let me build up that inner man." In verses 7 and 12 in Psalm 27, when disorder from the battle was trying to set back in and still David's confidence, David cried out to the Lord again, and the Lord instructed him, "Seek my face." David quickly responded, "Lord, your face I will seek," which leads us back to verse 13. "I would have fainted, would have lost heart, had I not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I am going to speak to you. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living again, and it'll be a greater revelation than you've ever experienced before in the past. We don't go through trials without God revealing His glory. If we'll hold on, if we'll hold steady, if we'll trust Him in the storm, we're going to come out different. We won't even smell like smoke. I sense that God is drawing some tonight on this Wednesday night to draw water from the wells of your salvation. Aren't you glad God's not exclusively a Sunday God? His anointing is flowing tonight. He's getting ready to break some shackles. There's some breakthroughs that are coming. And what's beautiful about this is a rhema word. So what's going to happen is when people listen to the podcast later on in days and weeks to come, they're gonna have a breakthrough in their life. This is not an ordinary Wednesday. This is an appointed, anointed time from Holy Ghost. Amen. And He's revealing His glory to you tonight. He is our light. He is our salvation. He is our strength. And with our praise, we're going to push back against everything that's pushing against us. And we're putting hell on notice. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Thanks be to God who's given me the victory right now. I'm about to dance on the devil's head. Woo! He just wants some of you to wait a few minutes. I'm not talking hours. I'm talking with just a desperation and an expectation that God came for you tonight. And He wants to reveal Himself to you. In Psalms 36:7, and we're going to close with this. How precious is your loving devotion, O God, that the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast. We didn't come for a snack tonight. You better get your steak knife out. And after the filet mignon and baked potato, we're going to have some pie with whipped cream. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from your rivers of delight. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You don't have to wait for someone to lay hands on you tonight, though we're going to. I might, whether you ask me to or not. I'm going to be led by Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you this. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your mouth, as you glorify God and begin to pray in your prayer language, you're going to feast on the abundance of the house of God, and rivers are going to flow. For with you, here we go back to where we were. For with you is the fountain of life. There's that fountain. There's that river. For with you is the fountain of life. And in your light, we see light. You're already seeing clearer than when you came in. There are scales that are already falling off because you've had revelation from the Word. So you're seeing different. You're hearing different. Some of you are hearing the sound of God, Holy Spirit, calling you, come on up higher. Come on up higher. Come on up higher. Kibre shondo ramande de barasundo da 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 There's peace found in God's presence. There's order. Some of you have been feeling disorder, the chaos of the battle, the noises. May the sound of the word of God, his voice like the sound of many waters, drown out all the other things for just a few moments tonight and bring things back into order. Back into order. I would have fainted, but now my soul is being restored. I believe. I came in not so sure, but I believe right now that I'm going to see the goodness of God again in the land of the living. Things are shifting. So I want you to stand with me. I just need you now to be obedient. We're going to sing a chorus, and I may ask Tina to play something. You need to come up front and pray. You come up front and pray. If you need to just lift your hands right there, lift your hands. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is strong in this house. You can have breakthrough there. I do want to pray with you if God's drawing you up here, because I feel like sometimes he says, get out of your seat. You need to take a step of faith. You need to step out of what's comfortable. So do what he tells you.